Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, latest figures have revealed that the majority of the 279 attacks against HSE staff members so far this year have occurred in hospitals in the Northwest Hospital Group. A decision to provide a five-day week respite service at CV House in Mount Charles has been described as penny-pinching. There are calls for the Air Corps and Defence Forces to be put on standby in the event of a gorse fire breaking out in Donegal as the dry weather continues. And a new €2.7 million Trail Gazers project has been launched in Donegal. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Chris Ashmore coming up at about 5:15, followed by Nuach with Colm Ferrisher. But first in news, the health service won't be disrupted next week after three plant strikes by support staff were called off. They were due to walk off the job as part of an ongoing pay dispute. Stephen Murphy reports.
It's the news patients would have been hoping for. 3 days of strikes by HSE support staff next week could have meant over 6,000 surgeries and appointments being cancelled. Both sides met at the Labour Court earlier for a preliminary hearing on the dispute over pay rises. Around 90 minutes later, SIP2's Paul Bell confirmed the strikes had been deferred.
It was regrettable that we had to action a strike earlier this week, but we are relieved and very, very much appreciative of the fact that the Labour Court has enabled us now to cancel next week's strike action and therefore no patient services will be disrupted.
Health Minister Simon Harris has welcomed the development and says it's good news for patients. A formal hearing involving union and government officials will get underway on Wednesday, aimed at finding a resolution.
There are calls for tougher punishments for those who assault hospital staff. Latest figures have revealed that 279 HSE staff members have been assaulted in Irish hospitals so far this year. The majority of those attacks, which are mostly against nurses and midwives, occurred in the hospitals in the Northwest Hospital Group, which includes Letterkenny and Sligo University Hospitals. Legislation which would pave the way for serious repercussions for such attacks is currently being discussed in the Seanad. Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin says staff are under enough pressure whilst at work.
Staff, the nurses and doctors who work in our emergency departments are under ferocious pressure as it is. The last thing they need is to be dealing with often people who are drunk or off their head and drugs, assaulting them, you know, while they're trying to save lives and help people. We need to look at the sentencing around all of this. Too often what happens is a slap in the wrists for people who behave in this way. It has to be seen as a serious offence in Irish society. I can tell you that legislation is starting in the Seanad and it will be strengthened as it moves its way through the Houses to look at an appropriate sentencing guideline for judges whenever this happens. We need to say this is beyond the pale, this behaviour in our emergency departments and hospitals.
Because if such an assault would occur down the main street of any town or village, there would be repercussions. The person who committed the crime would be reprimanded. Why isn't it the same for whenever they commit the same crime towards hospital staff?
Well, I think what happens, to be frank, is that when it comes before courts, it's even prosecuted, but when it comes before courts, we get the sad stories about people, you know, who are really, really nice, you know, and just had an off day and all this nonsense. Like, what we need to do is make it clear that if you are verbally or physically assaulting a frontline emergency service worker, a nurse or a doctor in our hospitals, you will pay a very serious price for it. That message has to go out there.
A decision to provide a five-day per week respite service at CV House in Mount Charles has been described as penny-pinching. The move comes following a recently completed procurement process which saw the contract for the service awarded to the Rehab Care Group. It's understood that despite the HSE having received tenders from six separate service providers, all of which submitted tenders for a seven-day service at the South Donegal facility, the decision was subsequently taken to opt for 5 days. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty says the situation is simply not good enough.
This is basically saying, look, you can take a rest, you can have a break if it's at the weekend, you can have a rest or a break if it's a bank holiday or you know, that those days are not available to you for the state to give you that support and respite and look after your sick and loved anyone at that point in time, and that's not simply good enough, particularly for younger children when on Monday to Friday they would find themselves in full-time education. Right across the county, and it's not just South Donegal, we have a major issue in terms of the number of respite hours that are available and the number of beds that are available to cater for families at this point in time. We have coming in to operate Seaview House, and additionality being provided there was supposed to relieve pressure right across the county. But the fact is, the HSE had two options. The options were operate a 7-day service or operate a 5-day service, which only allowed for 1,000 bed nights and didn't allow for weekend cover or for bank holidays. The HSE took the wrong decision. They looked at this from a penny and pounds point of view instead of looking at it from the human needs, the real needs of patients and their families. Tomorrow I'm meeting with the HSE and I'm going to be raising this with them to ask them to reverse this decision in the interest of the patients, but also in the interest of all service users right across Donegal, because this is just going to put more pressure in other areas by not actually utilising the facility that we have and making sure that it's available 7 days a week to take the pressure off other areas.
The Taoiseach has rejected accusations that his government has damaged relations between Ireland and Northern Ireland. The accusations came from Arlene Foster of the DUP as political leaders from across the UK and Ireland meet in Manchester. Leo Varadkar thinks any rift has happened because of Brexit and the lack of a political assembly in the North.
It's my view that Brexit has done the damage to those relations, sadly, and Brexit is not something that I proposed or campaigned for. And we need to bear in mind as well that at the moment there is nobody who can legitimately say they speak for Northern Ireland. There isn't an executive, there isn't an assembly, and that's really unfortunate.
There are calls for the Air Corps and Defence Forces to be put on standby in the event of a gorse fire breaking out in Donegal as the dry weather continues today. Councillor Micheál Colmgill-Osbaugh made the call in the wake of an orange level gorse fire warning being issued. Donegal County Council is urging landowners and members of the public to exercise caution and to take all necessary measures to prevent the occurrence of wildfires involving material such as gorse and heather. The warning remains in place until at least midday on Monday. Keir Nugent is Regional Forestry Inspector with the Department of Agriculture, and he says every effort must be made to prevent a repeat of the major gorse fires in Donegal over Easter.
Gorse is a very, very dangerous vegetation as a fuel, because it has a low live moisture content. The actual water content of live gorse is very low. There are oils in that plant that are flammable, and there's a very, very large dead component on the living material also mixed in with the live material, and it burns, as people would have seen firsthand back in April. This burns very, very well. And when we have that type of vegetation at any time of the year in adjacent to housing, adjacent to any kind of property, and particularly the fuel tanks and oil tanks associated with rural housing, that becomes a real risk. So it's very, very important that people assess the risks around their homes. We saw this firsthand, very, very unfortunate situations there at Easter in Donegal in respect of the proximity of vegetation, this hazardous types of vegetation to housing. It's very, very important that people manage and maintain what we call a defensible space around their homes that will allow firefighters to intervene safely.
The MICA Action Group say they are fed up waiting and frustrated at yet further delays to the rollout of the MICA redress scheme in Donegal. The scheme was approved by Cabinet last month with the condition that 90% of repair costs will be covered by government and the worst affected homes are to be fixed first. The MICA Action Group say responsibility for the rollout of the scheme has been delegated to Donegal County Council, and they were given assurances that they would be invited to work alongside the council on the way forward for the scheme. Eileen Doherty, PRO of the MICA Action Group, says they feel like they are being ignored. Speaking earlier on today's 9 till noon show, Councillor Martin McDermott is hopeful that a meeting this Monday will shed more light on where exactly the scheme stands.
The process hasn't really begun yet for the new council. We have to meet as an initial MD, and we have to meet as a Donegal County Council full council meeting, which won't be to the end of July. But at the same time, we did propose, as you know, at the AGM, that a MICA group will be set up to liaise with both the executive, the department, and with the MICA Action Group. And part of that has to be, that the MEG Action Group needs to be involved in that. They're the ones that are dealing with the people every day. They're the ones that have been contacted every day. Now, the department, as you know, there has been work done between our Chief Executive, Seamus Neely, Joe Peoples, the Director of Housing, and the department, which is ongoing at the minute. And hopefully, I'm going to meet with them on Monday, and hopefully we can get a date set then that we can have a meeting and get the liaison group together and get a chairperson put in place and start moving this forward, because we've, as everybody knows, it's went on long enough, and we need to put the pressure on now from a council perspective as well as a department's perspective.
A 52-year-old man arrested yesterday in Derry has been released unconditionally. Detectives from the PSNI Serious Crime Branch made the arrest under the Terrorism Act as part of an ongoing investigation into violent dissident Republican activity. Meanwhile, a 37-year-old man also arrested yesterday under the Terrorism Act has been released pending a report to the PPS for the offences of placing article to cause a bomb hoax, possession of articles for use in terrorism, and membership of a proscribed organisation. The man was rearrested under PACE legislation on suspicion of fraud by false representation and possessing fireworks without a licence. He was interviewed and subsequently released on police bail pending further inquiries in relation to the offences. A new €2.7 million Trailgazers project has been launched in Donegal. The project, being led by Donegal County Council, will see the county benefit from around €600,000. The project will look at new and innovative ways that walks and recreational trails can better link with the surrounding local and rural communities to enhance economic and social development in Donegal. Funded under the Atlantic Area Programme, the project will see the council work with 9 partners from different regions in Ireland, the UK, Spain, Portugal and France. Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council, Councillor Nicholas Crossan, says the project will have far-reaching benefits for the whole county.
Delighted to welcome the funding for it under the Atlantic Area Programme, Nicola. €600,000 Donegal County Council received from this is a quarter of the total funding for Europe. And our European partners came from Scotland, England, Wales, France, Portugal, Spain and Gran Canaria. So we're working in conjunction with them through the Atlantic Area Programme and launched the Trailblazers, which was, as you say, funding of €600,000. Delighted to welcome it.
And indeed, walking and hiking is already popular within the county, but this will only increase that.
Well, evidential has shown that the walking trails have increased in popularity so much over the past few years. The attractions for it is, you know, you're going out, it's a social inclusion, you can meet people for a chat, or you can go for your coastal walk, your mountain challenge, or walking festivals has come big now, so it's all good for tourism. It's going to be much welcome into our county and bring extra people in. And if you look, should it be a coastal walk or a mountain walk, Donegal has an awful lot to offer the walker.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, with the latest arrival of men's, women's and kids' clothing from leading sports labels like Nike, Adidas and Under Armour.
It's 16 minutes past five and time's latest in sport with Chris Ashmore.
Many thanks, Michaela. We start with the European Games in Minsk, and Donegal duo Chloe and Sam McGee defeated their Dutch opponents in the mixed doubles badminton quarterfinal to guarantee at least a bronze. Earlier today, they beat Selina Piek and Robin Tabeling 21-19, 21-17 to secure a medal equaling their achievement of 4 years ago in Baku. They'll face Great Britain's Gabby and Chris Adcock in the last four. Well, Chloe McGee said the difficulty of their opponents today kept their eyes on the prize.
We really wanted that this week, but we've had such a tough draw, and now to be standing here knowing that we're going home with a medal is the most incredible feeling that you could imagine.
And staying with the European Games, Michaela Walsh upgraded her bronze medal to at least a silver earlier today. The Belfast boxers threw to the featherweight final after a split decision victory over Russia's Daria Abramova. Offaly welterweight Gronja Walsh had to settle for bronze after losing on a split decision to Poland's Karolina Koszywska. Next between the ropes is Kelly Harrington, who faces Sweden's Agnes Alexson, and that's in the lightweight semi-finals, and that should be underway just about now. Regan Buckley, Kurt Walker and Michael Nevin are all in semi-final action as well this evening. Moving on to soccer, and it took Nottingham Forest just 17 minutes after Martin O'Neill's departure today to confirm his replacement as manager. The former Republic of Ireland boss leaves the Championship side after just 5 months in charge. Former Rennes manager Sabri Lamouchi is the new man in charge at the City Ground. O'Neill's departure came 5 days after Roy Keane left as his assistant. On to domestic soccer, and the second half of the SSE Airtricity Premier Division starts tonight after that short summer break. Finn Harps host Sligo Rovers in a North West derby at Finn Park. We'll have updates tonight on Highland Radio from 8 o'clock, which is the kick-off time. Well, Harps sit bottom of the table, level on points with UCD, but the students have 3 games in hand and a superior goal difference. John Kavanagh, Kieran Gallagher and Michael Gallagher remain on the injury list for Harps. Ollie Horgan, the Finn Harps boss, says they need more than a good performance tonight.
They already beat us in Ballybuffet, and I think they're a better side now than they were then. But we have to improve. We've got to pick up points, and this, you know, we're running out of games. Like every game we approach to try and get something out of it, and I promise you that's the case. It's not just, you know, a cliche or anything. But we need to try and pick something out of Friday. Performance won't just be good enough. We need to be the best of our ability here against them. And
meanwhile, Derry City return to action tonight when they make the 600-mile round trip to Turner's Cross to play Cork City. Darren Cole is struggling to be fit, while Michael McCrudden and Patrick McLean remain out. Derry don't have a great record in recent times in Cork, and that's something that Barry McNamee is looking to change this time.
We spoke about having 3 massive games in a week when we come back, so obviously it starts now. Having had a great record down there, drew earlier in the season down there, but we're holding on near the end, so it's going to be a tough game, but we're looking forward to it, and we've prepared well for it.
Our European spots are sort of, you know, been handed out, and trophies, it's the second half of the season, that's the crucial part now.
Well, that's it, like, and you can see, like, with the clubs who've qualified for Europe the last 4 or 5 years, like, you can see that they have the finances to pull away from the rest of the league, so qualifying for Europe's a biggie for the club, and obviously, you know, won the Cup of the area before, like, so there's a lot to play for come the second half of the season.
Barry McNamee speaking to Kevin McLaughlin there. Well, in the other games, Dundalk bring a 5-point lead over their nearest opponents, Shamrock Rovers, into their meeting at Talla Stadium. It's the match of the evening, first against second. UCD hosts St. Patrick's Athletic at the Belfield Bowl, and Waterford take on Bohemians at the RSC. In underage fixtures this weekend, the Finn Harps under-15s are away to Dundalk, and the under-13s are at home in their match against Dundalk. In other soccer news, AC Milan have been banned from playing in next season's Europa League. The Italian giants have been punished for breaching UEFA's financial fair play rules. The Court of Arbitration for Sport has ruled that Milan didn't meet break-even obligations from 2015 to 2018. Celtic have signed Christopher Julien from Toulouse on a 4-year deal. The French defender moves to the Scottish champions after 3 seasons with Toulouse. Manager Neil Lennon described Julien as a quality player with great attributes. In the Women's World Cup, the hosts face the holders in the quarterfinals tonight. France take on the United States in Paris, with the winners to face England in the semifinals. That match tonight is at 8 o'clock. On now to Gaelic games, and tonight sees the Airgrid Ulster GAA under Football 20 Championship quarterfinals. At Brewster Park, it's Fermanagh against Donegal. Pádraig Mógán is the Donegal captain, and he's been talking ahead of the big game about the opponents for Donegal tonight, Fermanagh.
They've got a lot of experience in there. Definitely the 5 seniors are going to be massive helps, you know, especially Alton Kellum and Johnny Cassidy. Like, so, you know, it's up to us. You know, as like sort of the senior players in the team and the other boys in the team, like, that we can, you know, nullify them as much as we can and sort of kick on then.
And you can hear live commentary on that game on the Highland Radio website. It's an 8 o'clock throw-in at Brewster Park, a coverage in association with Orbit Security. So if you go onto the highlandradio.com, there will be a link for that game. Oisin Kelly with live commentary there. Extra time will be played if necessary. Also tonight at 8 o'clock, another quarterfinal game, Derry against Armagh. And we'll have reaction from both those games on Saturday. Sports sport. The other two quarterfinals in that under 20 competition are on Sunday, where Cavan meet Monaghan and Tyrone take on Down. Mayo manager James Horan has named his starting 15 for tomorrow's All Ireland Senior Football Championship Round 3 qualifier against Armagh in Castlebar. There are four changes to the side, which beat Down. Michael Plunkett, Donald Vaughan, Fergal Boland and Mikey Murray replaced Colin Boyle, Jason Doherty, Darren Cohen and the injured captain Dermot O'Connor. And just to recap on those round three qualifiers that take place tomorrow, it's Kildare against Tyrone. That's a 5 o'clock start for that one. Westmeath and Clare is at 6. Mayo and Armagh at 7. And Laois and Offaly also at 7. On the hurling front this weekend, the Joe McDonagh Cup final is on Sunday, Laois against Westmeath. In the Leinster Hurling Senior Championship, there's the final between Kilkenny and Wexford, and in Munster, the decider Limerick against Tipperary there on Sunday. And it's a big weekend for the Donegal Ladies. The Ulster Ladies Senior Football Championship final takes place in Clonus on Sunday, 3:45 throw in for that. There'll be live coverage on Highland Radio of that game, Donegal taking on Armagh. Busy weekend of fixtures as well in the All County League, with games on in the various divisions there. And always just check with your local club before you travel in case of any late cancellations. And the Donegal Hurling Championship see in the senior hurling group, McCool's against Burt on tomorrow evening, and at Satanta against St. Eunan's. There's also junior hurling championship action as well. Moving on to cricket, and some big games on in the Northwest Premiership tomorrow. Eamon McLaughlin now previews the weekend's action.
Fingers crossed that this beautiful weather continues over the weekend for the Northwest cricket. Games on Saturday and Sunday. Our featured game tomorrow, Saturday, is at Glendermot, where they host Ballyspan. Ballyspan, bottom of the league. This is a dress rehearsal for the Bank of Ireland Senior Cup semi-final the following Sunday, so it should be a very interesting game. Other games down for decision tomorrow: Corrine play Eglinton, Brigade the Leaders entertain Strabane, while Dunamana play Brady at second and third, so that should be a cracker of a game as well. One game rearranged for Sunday, it involves Ballyspan again. This time they're on their travels to Strabane Park to take on the home side. So fingers crossed, as I say, that this good weather continues.
And also in cricket, Cricket Ireland today announced the support of sports company O'Neill's as the title sponsor for the All-Ireland Youth Interprovincial competitions that bring together players at under 15 and under 17 age groups. And the Northwest will be represented in both these interpros, which take place over the next 2 weeks. Also, keep an eye out this weekend. The National Cycling Championships are being hosted by the Foyle Cycling Club, and there's road races around the city of Derry tomorrow, and on Sunday there will be some traffic disruption. Some of the biggest names in Irish cycling up for those championships. And in boxing, the Donegal boxing team have made the trip to the United States, and they are in action in a major tournament on Sunday when they meet the cream of boxing from Boston, the Boxing Academy there, which is led by former Buncrana boxer Mark Porter, who's very much involved in the amateur and professional boxing scene there in the United States. 14 boxers over from Donegal for that tournament. And finally, once again, just to remind you of that under 20 championship game in Brewster Park tonight, a live commentary on highlandradio.com for Manna against Donegal, and the throw in there is at 8 o'clock. From me, Chris Ashmore, that is your evening sport.
Thanks, Chris. And for weather now, this evening will be cloudy with some sunny spells, and also isolated showers may occur. Variable amounts of cloud overnight with the risk of a few showers, possibly thundery, and lowest temperatures of 12 to 14 degrees in light southerly breezes. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, there are calls for tougher punishments for those who assault hospital staff. Latest figures have revealed that 279 HSE staff members have been assaulted in Irish hospitals so far this year. The majority of those attacks occurred in the hospitals in the Northwest Hospital Group, which includes Letterkenny and Sligo University Hospitals. A decision to provide a 5 day per week respite service at Seaview House in Mount Charles has been described as penny pinching. The move comes following a recently completed procurement process, which saw the contract for the service awarded to the Rehab Care Group. There are calls for the Air Corps and Defence Forces to be put on standby in the event of a gorse fire breaking out in Donegal as the dry weather continues. Councillor Micheál Colmogill-Osbaug made the call in the wake of an orange level gorse fire warning being issued today. And a new €2.7 million Trail Gazers project has been launched in Donegal. The project, being led by Donegal County Council, will see the county benefit from around €600,000. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is New York with Colm Ferrisher, and we'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Shewer Mahasa Colm Ferrisher and Shalin, the Priest Guilty or Highland Radio. Ta tunnel Geltuk to Conwin Gaeliga for Ilan Shoal and Chacton Shaw in Geltert, Ir Yashkert, Agun and all, Edger Glan Colm Kella, August Teelan. Bay Suis, Le Kerra Scores, Kurch, Achon the Geltuk to Ach Ame Torish, Diasporakti, August Kaluri, Ayrs and Clar Ata Bun Secantor, Ilahar Nahura. It's a seminar, Ne Jehinia, a North. Buig Poncha and Chonel agus Imliana Bishina Rakt Liga Hort Clug Ig Hala Wira and Cashel and Yan Colum Killa. Agus to say Planal Gaeltacht Don Troichi Tema and Fle Don Seminar Imliana. Emask Nani Kanchuri again seminar Aveus Maya Vicnielis Kaiherla Cor Common Farber Higidort Yunan McConigan Kaiherla Kostia Planala Changan Ir Dieshkart Kondagun and all, August Michal Makala Aspago Udras Nagelta. Fogritar Erhiv Runya Nagelta Goel Alantus Suis the €3.6 million in Omlan, Mar Hard Travesha 3 billion. Cadi hit fwy sgym na gwynt o'r eichanga. Bynferd leis an anestiach ta bresia a ta cadi hit dan sgym con gomeid sgolon na gieltach ta partia sa ffolosi dan edges gieltach ta abel ta cwynt o'r eichanga a fe ocw ar fa se siartyn i bresia yn ei na sgolbliana. Onan le trochos y do siartyn i yn omlan. Be cwynt o'r eichanga ag ffaim nŵp fwy'n sgym ffaste ar fe trochos y hen siartyn i ag asta ni'r bont sgolon na gieltach ta i gesht. Da horyd sio Ella by Kuntri Changa Abelta Dol Imon Ebra, Nura Hosnian and Skolblian, and me Manon Oher, Chucky and Bartcha Ivaim, Sun Foher, Suis Guji, Elhus Naskolblian Nua. August by Komaru, a Yanu, a photo at Bale, Omracha, Mickey McCann, Egfela, Kyol, a Veil, Erin Drummor, Condi Heroin, a Jeraninia, and Neo Ladjeg, the Miul, August and Donna, and Cade Las Fee, Ractal Har, Komortus Potterakta, and Imliana, Gaolus, Eg Kevin Goodwin, Onids Alin Yasrulia, Erinomi. August Chucky, Sprickdata, Antrala, Conjeru, Don Comortus Letterha and Arctus Yavilis and Nijeg and Cadla the Miul Yavilis and Nijeg Gah Olus Eg Arctus Bunk IE Shema Hodge Eligolier Slan August Bannacht.
The obituary notice is for this Friday evening, June the 28th. The death has taken place of Eugene O'Donnell, 9 Argyle Terrace, Derry. Funeral from his home, 9 Argyle Terrace, on Monday morning at 9:30 for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Eugene's Cathedral, with interment afterwards in the city cemetery. The death has taken place of Seamus Quigley, late of 17 Benview Estate, Coshquin. Seamus's remains will be resting at his home address from 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. Funeral leaving his late home at 10:15 on Monday morning for 11 o'clock Mass in Burt Chapel, followed by burial in Burt Cemetery. The death has taken place of Brian McLaughlin, Gorton Lake, Creesaw. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass in St Michael's Church, Creesaw, on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Oncology Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Harkin Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Rosemary McCarthy, 14 Ballyduff Park, Lifford. Her remains will be reposing at her late residence this evening at 7:30. Funeral from there on Sunday morning at 8:30, going to St Patrick's Church, Murlock, for Requiem Mass at 9 o'clock. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to Surgical One, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. The death has taken place of Noel Rorty, formerly of Five Abbey Villas at Manor Cunningham. Noel's remains will repose at Archview Lodge Nursing Home this evening until 9 o'clock and tomorrow from 5 o'clock until 9 o'clock. Rosary both nights at 9 o'clock, at funeral mass on Sunday in St. Columba's Church, Dromahol at 12 noon, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to Archview Lodge Nursing Home Comfort Fund care of any family member. The death has taken place in Basildon, Essex, of Peg Keeney, formerly Croc Nagapal Ardra. Her remains will be reposing at Chauvelin's Funeral Home, Sandfield, tomorrow evening from 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock and on Sunday at her brother Frankie's residence from 5:30. Funeral from there on Monday morning at 10:15 to the Church of the Holy Family Ardra for 11 o'clock at Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time on Monday morning, please. And the death has taken place in Glasgow of Elizabeth Peters, née Stewart, formerly of Cloncarney, Trenta. Burial of ashes will take place at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon in Trenta Presbyterian Church.